Father, we give you all the praise and we magnify you. Thank you for your ever-abiding presence. Thank you for your word for now. And thank you for who you are and all that you do for us. Thank you for your compassion. And thank you for your love. And thank you for this day. We'll look at it and we'll say, of a truth, we had an encounter with God. We'll magnify your name all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. God is good. I hope you are praying for the nation. I said, I hope you are praying for the nation. Lord will stop the bleeding. Lord will stop the flood. He will stop everything. And he will return to us the years that the locusts and the canker worms have eaten in Jesus' name. And most importantly, he will turn the hearts of the people to him so that we'll be obedient and follow him all the days of our lives. Hallelujah. No man can do this on his own. Amen. We can't turn the nation around on our own. And some people say that's why he gave us brains. He gave us give us brain so we can think, and what he expects us to think about is to obey him and do the things that will have us do all the knowledge that we gain and we gather. And we study nature. Last week when we were reading, we talked about the fact that we see the invisible attributes of God in the things of nature. Hallelujah. Amen. And so please throw your arms in the air. Amen. Even if you think you are going to leave us, home is home. Hallelujah. Amen. But we'll be fine by the grace of God. Hallelujah. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Last week we were looking at success criteria. I spoke from Isaiah 40, hallelujah, and we looked about the fact that you mount on wings like eagles, hallelujah. We looked at the fact also about obedience, we looked at Isaiah 40, 31, lessons from the eagle. It says, but for those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you ever walked and felt like fainting? Have you? I've done it before. Walk and faint. Hallelujah. And it was amazing. I thought I was a strong man. So there was this terrible, when the day, you know things are better now when it comes to traffic. If you look back down the years, the days of very terrible traffic, I walked from Bolade Oshodi. I walked all the way to that rail line at Oshodi, under the bridge at Oshodi Sale. And then I walked all the way to Bagada. By the time I got to Charlie Boy, my feet could not carry me again. Hallelujah. And I was like, how come? How am I fainting? Strong me. But my feet could not carry me again. So I got to that point, and I wanted to take a cab. And because there was terrible traffic, the cab was going to take from Charlie Boy to Mobile in Bagada for 1,000 naira. So that was how bad it was that day. It was all a space of how many meters? Not up to a kilometer, I think. And that's how bad it was. But it says that they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. So while I was there, I said, God, you need to help me. I 1,000 naira. And because God listens, then Mrs. Fowley drove. She came out from Charlie Boy Junction. She said, Pastor, where? She was excited to see me. I was more excited to see her than she was to see me. And she said, you know what, when you get me to Mobile, I'm fine. And that's how she took me, and that's how God solved the problem. But when you rely on God, I mean, so with all the strength that I thought I had, you know, I couldn't believe that I was feeling faint. Amen. But that's how it is. When we rely on ourselves and rely on our own strength, it will get to a point it will not carry us. Amen. But instead of getting to a point where your strength will fail you, why don't you just be wise and be like the eagle? Hallelujah. That's what I was talking about last week. The eagle, when he sees storm, the eagle is happy. He doesn't see a storm and then go and hide and say, let the storm go away. When the storm is gone, I'll come out. He sees a storm and he goes in the storm and rides on the storm. Hallelujah. So we looked at also the fact that you need physical rest. Last week we talked about physical rest. Christ told his apostles, come aside a while and rest. And we need to rest. We need to rejuvenate. You need to recuperate. You need to do everything and gather your strength back. That's when we also spoke about the eagle, that after a while, he looks at, when he's growing old, he looks at some, he's at himself and sees that some feathers are failing. And then he begins to molt. Those feathers, throws them out. But you don't see him when he's doing that. He's far away. Everybody says, this guy, this bird is dead. But finally, when he comes back, he's come back with renewed vigor. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what happens when we go to God. Amen. When we go to him and we renew our strength. In Jude 1:20, he says we should pray in the Holy Ghost. It's okay. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Edify yourself. You go higher and higher. Hallelujah. So it's very important. Okay. All that we think that we have, all the strength that we think that we have, is actually from God. Everything that we think that we have is from God. If he has not enabled you, you can't do it. Amen. So we read this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2, says, you should look for men that are faithful, who are able to teach. So some men will be faithful, but they are not enabled for teaching. Hallelujah. Some men are faithful, and they are able to teach. Hallelujah. God is good. So yesterday, I had a meeting, and we were talking here in church. We had a meeting, and I said, we should look at the life of David. In the life of David, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David looked at Goliath. He looked at Goliath, and he said, you know, guy, you're not talking to the armies of Israel, okay? You're defiling the armies of the living God. Amen. And many times we all believe like Goliath. So this is what the Bible says. Let me read from verse 4. Okay, let me read from verse 1. It says that now the Philistines gathered armies together to battle and were gathered at Socor, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socor and Azekah in the Ephes Damim, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain side, valley between them. And a champion from camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. So that's the way Goliath was built. Very big. He wasn't carrying his own shield. He had a shield bearer before him. But the Bible says that a champion came out, went from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath. Hallelujah. Amen. And then when he would speak, he was speaking in verse 8. It says, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you are servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Hallelujah. And then the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Amen. Hallelujah. He said from the armies of Saul. That was his mistake. They were not the armies of Saul. They were the armies of God. Amen. And that's the mistakes I expect that your enemies, your adversaries will be making. Because in that way, they will be undermining your capacity. Hallelujah. So when he spoke, and the Bible said, a champion. So in his eyes, there's nothing that could confront him. I mean, early hard, mighty. But it was even funny. Because of his size, someone will bear his shield. But the person that will bear his shield will be like you and I. So how high will that shield be for a Goliath? You know, I just kept thinking about it. So why did he have somebody bearing his shield? Because the person will be probably not up to his knee and carrying a shield. What's the shield supposed to do? Do you understand the picture I'm trying to show you? He had someone that was bearing his shield. The shield is to save you and guard you, your face and everything from whatever. Goliath was far taller than everybody. So what was his shield bearer doing? It was just there for the fun of it, as far as I can see. Because that shield bearer cannot do it, except you say they don't want to shoot his, you don't want them to cut his ankle with sword or something, because it was of no use. But that was how confident people, that's how confident people will be when they rely on the arm of flesh. They will talk anyhow like Goliath was talking and forget to see what he was seeing. Now, because he was not new to them, who the Israelites were. That's not the first time they faced the Philistines. Okay? But because they thought they had something that the Israel did not have, it was Goliath. He would step on anybody. Okay? They thought that's the end of it. And they thought, even his spear will probably weigh this. It will be the size of weight of the armies of Israel put together, the weight of his spear. And so they thought, oh, we have everything. And then he was misbehaving, not saying anything anyhow. So, and then David came out. And I want to read his response to Goliath. Okay, let me just take it from verse 38 or verse 36. No, let me take it from verse 38. And then, so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with this, for I have not tested them. Hallelujah. Amen. So they tried, so David had all the troubles that Israel was facing at that point, and then they tried to dress David up to protect him against the enemy. But he said, I can't. And remember what we said about when you practice, things become easy for you. He said, I can't walk. I can't even walk with this, so there's no way I'm going to face. Now, the battles, so for Saul and the other armies, he needed to dress like a military man so that he can face Goliath. And it's Rudy. If you look at the descriptions, there's just one Rudy young boy, and then they were going to push him. Those guys were very, very, I don't know what to say. They must have been very, I don't know. Because it's just like telling us, I say, okay, let's push Munachi to go and Munachi that will fight. And then Collis is dressing him up. And they say, this Munachi should go and fight. That's how he looked. And then this oversized shoe that you're giving me, I can't walk, leave me, let me go. And they let him go. Except they had the same thinking in their mind. But David said, you know what, I faced, okay, let me read it. He said, from verse 35. Okay, from verse 33. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. So Goliath was seeing armies of Saul. David was seeing the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. And then, and moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Amen. They were not seeing the same thing. No. It was not that Saul was seeing that this guy was going in the name of the army, God of Israel. They were not. Otherwise, they wouldn't have tried to kick him up. Otherwise, they would have risen up themselves. Saul would have risen up and said, don't worry. It's the armies of the living God. Let me go. Hallelujah. But David had things to fall back on. And said, you know what? I've been in worse situations. Okay, so see, the fight with an animal and the fight with human being, they are two different fights. Because the one with an animal is not controlled. And unless you have studied and studied and studied that animal to know that, okay, this is how he's going to fight. But human being, you know now, it's either he throws a punch. You are used to the way human beings are. Okay? So, when we come back to the eagle does not fight you in your comfort zone. If he has a prey, he doesn't fight you in your comfort zone. So, when the eagle is coming, because of the kind of vision he has, he launches, okay, picks his prey, and takes that prey out of his comfort zone. So, if David was going to fight Goliath in Goliath's comfort zone, he would have lost. The eagle will take snake from the ground, take it in mid-air, slam it on the ground that is comfort zone, take it up again, and then weakens it. You don't fight your enemy in your enemy's comfort zone. So what the Goliath was used to was the fact that these are men, ordinary men, soldiers of Saul. And David was saying, I have fought in zones that was not mine, that the Lord had been with me. So he was going to take Goliath from Goliath's comfort zone into his own comfort zone. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 42. He says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So Philistine said, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you will come to me with sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camps of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. David did just not wake up one day and begin to talk tough, and blow hot. He told Saul, he saved me from a bear, he saved me from a lion, he will deliver me from this Philistine. He understood God that he was serving. And he put God first. And when he was talking to Goliath, he told Goliath, I will strike you down and I will cut off your head. Hallelujah. When you face tough situations and you talk tough, you expect some people will quiver and run away. You know? I do it too. When I see that there's trouble. And then I talk tough. I say, what do you mean? What do you mean? And then the person that's supposed to be attacking me begins to shake. Because he doesn't understand. He say, yeah. The people will laugh. Say, you are harassing the person. I said, no, I only asked a question. And I asked a question in an affirmative tone. What do you mean? Meanwhile, on the inside of me, I'm saying, God, this, what do you mean? Don't let it become something else. Hallelujah. Amen. David was so certain that that's what's going to happen if you rely on God. And that's exactly what happened. He struck him down and cut off his head and gave the carcass. Hallelujah. Amen. So when your source, the source of your strength is God, there's no limit to what you can achieve. I'm not saying go and be fighting, you know. Some people say it was after fight that I said that. Yeah, it's just a sentence that I'm making. There's no limit to what you can achieve. The eagle is a symbol of strength. Okay? It's a symbol of strength. Strong nations have the eagle on their coat of arms. And one of them is our beloved country, Nigeria. Amen. He says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel 11:32 says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Hallelujah. They will carry out great exploits, great feats, that it looks no one can dare it except the one that has God. Amen. You look at Nehemiah, verse 8, and then chapter 8, verse 10. He says, then he said to them, Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, he says, for those who know their God shall be strong and carry out great feats. Literally, no one has faced Goliath like that again. Well, spiritually, it's happening. Amen. It's happening. Goliaths are things that we think are insurmountable. I said, when the storms come, what does the eagle do? The eagle rides on the storm. He doesn't quiver or shiver when he sees a storm. And there's no storm that has recorded has blown it away. Okay? I remember the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So the first one, Daniel, was taking that if you know your God, you'll be strong. What gives you the strength? He says it's the joy of the Lord that gives you strength. Hallelujah. If David had lost contact with what God has done, probably won't be able to see that what is happening is for God to display that he's the God of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. He won't see it. He will have just looked out of it and be like, oh, God has forsaken us. That's why he has sent. And then he also would have gone into hiding. But like we read this morning, God does not forsake his own. Amen. God is compassionate. In Jeremiah 51 that we read, he said he didn't forsake them. Even though they were going after other gods, he let the people punish them. No problem. Punish them. Fine. But he didn't forsake them. In all that they were going through, he was still keeping an eye on them to be sure that what they were going through, they will surmount. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. So everything that they were going through, they will surmount. That's the way God is. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. We will not allow you to be tempted with what you are able. But with the temptation, will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. So, when we were reading in Jeremiah 51, that he didn't forsake them, it's because of these things that he has said here, that with the temptation, it will make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. So there's nothing that comes your way that you're not able to bear. If you will be like the eagle, you will ride on that storm to get to your next level. Amen. And this temptation, they are varied. So to some people is temptation. Some people, we call it challenges. So when the challenges come and you look at them, don't say, I cannot cope. He says that he will not allow anything come your way that you are not able to bear. Except you take your eyes off him. That's when you be like you are not able to bear it. And then you succumb to pressure. So in the midst of trouble or in the midst of challenges, you have to keep God in the center of your gaze. He says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. He says, those that know God, they will be strong and do great feats. Amen. In James chapter 1, from verse 2 to verse 4, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. What are you being patient for? Is your faith that is being tested? Your faith in God. The trying of your faith produces patience. Patient, you are patient enough for God to show up. Hallelujah. You are patient enough to see God do what he will do. I know. Also, I was mentioning yesterday that it's only God that takes you from abyss to abound. When God steps into a situation, you are glad on the inside that the end of this matter thereof is good. Mr. Sajeri was saying this morning about people that do idol worshiping. The end of the matter is never good. Even if it's Nollywood that you're watching. Yes, now, because I don't know any example to tell you. But the ones we see in Nollywood, at the end of the matter, is not always good. It can never be good. Because the devil does not want you to take you to an expected end. What he wants is to derail you so that you fall out of favor with God. But even what Jeremiah 51 was making us to understand, that even when you go that route, God has not forsaken you. He's working all things to get you back on track. But don't be the one that they will always put you back on track. So there was a time in my office. We have a three-phase generator and three-phase AC. And there was one problem with the generator, they call it phase shift problem. So it was not driving the ACs because the phases had gone haywire. So the ACs were down and all the equipment were out. And in this life, all of us don't have the same capacity. Even though we're in the same room, there were different equipment in that room. Some equipment kept working. even at 80 degrees. So the temperature was about 80 degrees. You can't bear that temperature, 80 degrees. It was 80 degrees. So some equipment, so normally we keep the temperature around 15 and 20. The temperature was about 80. Now, at that 80, some equipment kept working. Because that's how they were built. They were built for resilience. They kept working. When it was 40, the most critical equipment started shutting down. Okay, at 40. Then the other ones kept working at 80. Now, so what was the problem? Each time the generator, the ACs will peak, the gears of the power gears will drop. So we had to devise a way. Some people must hold that gear, so that AC can blow till we solve the problem. The best anybody could last, 2 to 5 minutes in that room. God will be sweating. I said, those people that experience that thing, they will be working for God because they won't want to go to hell. It's true now. Because it's just 80 degrees. I was outside. I was doing command down from outside. I said, okay. Is it okay? Until we managed to solve the problem. Because we couldn't afford to lose everything. So as the gear was coming down, we were pushing it back. So I was saying that nobody the one that will go to the left, and then God is always trying to bring you back. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Hallelujah. Be sure that, because it's compassionate, use that compassionate to move from one level of grace to another level of grace. So if you think that you are a billionaire, thank God I want to become a trillionaire. So you can sponsor the budget. Abi. Don't fall to 1,000 so that God will bring you back to 1,000,000. No. Because each time you do that, you are going to be starting from scratch. Hallelujah. God is the only one that will want to take you from this level, help you to that level, and get you up. When he sent Moses to the Israelites, like we were talking yesterday, when we sent Moses to the Israelites, what did he say? With the 10 plagues. The first one, the one I remember, was the plague of turning water to blood. Abi? Okay, so the first one, Moses threw his staff, and then the sorcerers of Pharaoh also threw their staff. Meaning that what you can do, you can do. Abi? But there's no sense in it. They should have brought something that will consume that snake, right? When he turned water to blood, they too went to turn water to blood. Stupidity. Moses has turned the water of your people to blood. If you want to do anything, is it not for you to turn that blood to water? Then the remaining water they now turn it to blood. That's how the devil behaves. And so we can do what they can do. That's what they were trying to show. And then for the frogs too, said. They produce more fraud. That's how stupid the devil is. It won't bring a solution your way. It will only worsen the situation. And unfortunately, if you follow the way of the world, you will not know that it is worsening until it has scattered finish. You won't. Because it's going to be so, and even Pharaoh was not seeing. This guy is turning water to blood. You also are turning water to blood. There's a problem. Pharaoh was not seeing. He wasn't thinking. He's doing frog manufacture. You too, you are doing frog. You are adding more. You should take away. If you, and for us, anytime we are in a place, because we carry God, when we step into a place, we should make it better. If you say, there's nothing to make better here. This place is already good. There's nothing to make better. No. You can always take something from good to better. And you can only keep getting better. There's nothing like best. When people say, I've done my best, they give up. They never get to the next level. The ego doesn't do that. Hallelujah. Because of the strength that he has. He doesn't. He doesn't say, I'm on this pinnacle. When the storms come again, he's going to rise and ride on that storm. And we'll get to the next level. Because there's always something to attain. Amen. We have to be dissatisfied with this level of satisfaction that we have. Because we'll not be experiencing him. Some say, oh yes, I already know God. I pray to him. He answers my prayers. Not the end of the matter. If it were so, all them Paul would have been encouraging all us. They wouldn't have been saying that we are the ones that they are jeering because we are going to make them perfect. When you see sportsmen, you begin to wonder, why does he train on a daily basis? Because he knows that he has not attained. Because if he stops training, then he's not going to attain even what he has done before. Okay? That's how we should live our life. Continual exercise of the things that we know. He says in James, let me go back to James chapter 1, 2 to 4. He says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen. The trial is not going to come once. It's not going to come twice. It's going to come at every stage of progress that you make. Don't forget, persecution comes for the word's sake. When you begin to learn, when you begin to delve into the word of God, and when you're going to learn things about the scripture, things that will liberate you, persecution will come because of what you have learned. And it's for you to be able to hold on fast to that which you have learned. Because God's word never fails. Since you count it all joy, diverse temptations, different ones. And he said, we read earlier, that when these things come, you are able to bear it. Amen. Not all birds ride on storms. It's only the good that will be recorded to ride on storms. Not all of them. Others will go and hide in a nest until the storm goes. We are not designed like that. Hallelujah. Because where are we? We are under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. We're a different species. It says we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called forth to show forth the glory of God. That's how we are described. I think it's 1 Peter 2, 9. That's how we are described. A different species. You know, the Bible says, any your talk. So when we were in school, when we used to greet ourselves, I don't know if you guys did. When you see someone, you say, When we were in fellowship, that's how we greet ourselves, because we read that we are a different species. So, yato, yeah, yato man. Until you see that you are not the same. Mr. Sajin and I, we are not the same species, although we are different species. Hallelujah. So when those trials come, so I said the eagle is the only one that will face the storm. Face it head on. And it doesn't waver, doesn't quiver. This is how resilient, and this is how it was built. And that's why nations put it as a symbol of strength. If you will be a symbol of strength, you have to derive your strength from God. From God. People that identify, you see, when you identify with God, this is what happens. It is what happened to Daniel in the den of lions that will happen to you. So when he was thrown in, Daniel said that God has sent his angel to guard the mouth of the lions, Abby. But you know what I see? I saw that I saw that the lions were not seeing Daniel. They were seeing another lion. Because he's of the tribe of the lion of Judah. And it's like for like. My people say, I form more bore. It's impossible. You know what omore is? Yes. Okay, you are spraying spirit. Because I know his language is not that strong. I don't know how I interpret it. So you cannot use the son of Ore to. So you cannot sacrifice Ore's son to Ore. He's like a god. So so if you want to offer me a sacrifice, you now bring Temiloluwa. I will sacrifice you. That's what he means. Say this is your sacrifice. It's not possible. So when the lion saw him, I said, brother, enjoy. And then they said, he sealed their mouth. It's true. When there's trouble all around, you open the door for your brother. And your brother comes, you don't send him out. So when you are with God, situations will see you as themselves, and then the storm does not touch you. When he was going to feed Elijah, he sent ravens to carry food. I said, ravens are very selfish birds. They don't know how to offer food to another. They don't. But that's what God does. And that's what you should expect. But you have to stay with him. You have to. The challenges that come your way, use them to grow in faith, patience, and love. Amen. We cry and cry. God has forgotten everything. God will show up according to his own timing. Another thing you must know, eagles are fearless and they do not succumb. They don't give up the size of their prey, and if they lose their territory, if at all they lose their territory, they regain it. Because they are fearless. So when you're addressing mountains, you have to address them fearlessly. Obstacles, when you address it, you have to address it fearlessly. You see, so when you begin to break down what an obstacle is a problem. Because you are giving so much energy to that obstacle. How do I describe it? Okay, so this is the magnitude of it. So you understand what I'm saying. That's what you'll be saying. This problem is so big. You have taken all your energy to identify the problem. Yet on the inside of you sits one that is bigger. Hallelujah. The one that created heaven and earth sits on the inside of you. And yet you see a small mountain. And then you say, I'm like grasshopper before this problem. You say, you don't understand. This problem, you are just saying it. It's because you are saying it because you are a pastor. And why? I see obstacles. I face obstacles as well. But when those obstacles come, I hide behind God. That's the best I can do. When I figure it out, I say, this way should work. And I hide behind God. I say, it has to be God that will solve the problem. There's no problem that I've solved on my own. None. When we were growing up, my brother used to get a lot of problems, issues. And then he'll call my mom, blah, blah, blah. And then my mom will call me, this, blah, blah. I said, Mommy, have you not learned? And have you not known that when these issues come, God has a way of solving it? So why not just turn to him and not me? There's nothing I can do. If someone says, yesterday I was talking to my brother-in-law. He needs such an amount of money. I laugh. I said, the Lord will provide. He wasn't asking for the money. We were just talking generally. I said, you know what? I need this amount of money before January. And I said, you know what, I need twice the amount. I said, don't worry, I'll give you when God gives me. He was trying to tell me that his own problem was bigger than mine. For me, I saw that problem in my head. So I looked at his own and then I joined it to my own. I said, don't worry, when God gives me, I'll give you. That's how to manage obstacles. When you tell that, when you look at an obstacle and say, ah, this building is tall, then we cannot get to the top. If you want to get to the top, you have to do this. I cannot pull the rope. You will not do anything. When David came back and his men, they came back and they are taking his wife and everybody's wife. And everybody turned against him. It was everybody's wife plus David that he took home. Everybody turned against him. What did he do? So David encouraged himself in the Lord. So when everything is down, so assume that everything is down always, so that you don't have a choice except to encourage yourself in God. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us a sound mind. Sound mind means that we are able to make decisions. And we make the right decisions. He alone knows the end from the beginning. It's not the beginning from the end, though. It's the end. He knows the end right from the beginning. So if you want to know the end, join yourself to his chariot. Christ went about doing good. He said, I do what I see my Father do. That's what he said. So what do you see God do when you see obstacles? I haven't seen God run away from obstacles. No, I haven't seen it. And I haven't seen him fail anyone. Hallelujah. And he's never going to fail. Bible says the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even when your needs change, it means that he will supply. That's why it's the same. See, the Bible says in Philippians, it's all things that are good, all things that are positive, pure, those are the things that you should meditate upon. Anything outside of that, you are not supposed to bother your head about it. How do I attain or become what God wants me to be? Last week we mentioned the vision of an eagle. I said he has about two times or three times that capacity. We have a greater capacity because we are not seen by our own eyes. When we look at things from the spiritual point of view, with the eyes of the Spirit, it says the Spirit searches out the will of the Father and it teaches us what to do. It teaches us what to say. So when you have dreams, I know some people have dreams. We read in Habakkuk, write it down and run with it. Okay? Run with it. So that, it's written, you can run with your vision. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will not delay. Amen. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will not delay. Our visions are not meant for our carnal minds or our human mind to bring to bear. I say some people are out there, they're not Christians, and yet go and look at them. It's a principle. Go and learn. If you want that to be your yardstick, it's a principle. So it's one thing for you to have a capacity to do something, another thing for you to use that capacity, and the last thing is for the grace of God to be on that thing that you have done. Anything that cannot last one generation to another is of no use. There's always I say, should I have vision? Blah, blah, blah. When God gives you a vision, he makes provision. When he told, who did he tell to kill his son? Abraham. to offer Isaac Abi. What did he do? After he had tested the level of obedience, he said, that's not what you should do. He says, you look. And then he had provided. And he called the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. That's what he does. He expects that in the place of obedience, when you have a vision and the place of obedience, you will know the provision is making. You know, some years back, and I'm going to close now so that I don't bore you. Some years back, I learned an art or a craft. I learned it. But I will use it in the house. I'll just use it in the house. Then one day my wife looked at me and said, why are you wasting what God has given you? That's what she said. So why are you wasting it? I said, no, it's to make your life comfortable. So I'll do it and everybody's fine. I said, no. That this is gold in your hand. I said, oh God. I just kept quiet. And then with time, I was building on it. When the chips are down, when I think that it looks like I'm stuck, I go back to it. I pull it out and do it. Because when God gives you a vision, he makes provision. On radio, I was listening to one man on radio 3 weeks back. And the man was saying, okay, he was going for a position in one of these associations. And the lesson he was saying was that he wanted to go for a second term. Then his little daughter, like 15, a teenager anyway, looked at him and said, Daddy, why are you going for a second term? You have achieved this. If you stay a second term, what's going to be new that you'll be doing? He said, the little girl said, leave this thing for these people that it will be an achievement for them to get to this position. You move on to the next level. He said it was like something jolted him out of his head. And then he left. He didn't contest. He left it for the people that it will be an achievement to be the chairman of whatever they are doing. And then he left it. Today, they come to him for consultation. Nobody would have done that if he was still in that position. We hold on to the vision that God has given to us, and with obedience, he will keep making a way. Hallelujah. We are a different species. We don't walk like the species of the world. We don't. And we should not. Where God is going to meet us is where he expects us to be, the place of obedience and reliance on him. Amen. Remember, the lions could not take Daniel, because they are of the same species. When the storms come, so he says, I am that I am. He says, who sent you? Say, I am sent me. I am that I am. So there's no storm that I am does not fit. What will happen is the person that is representing I am, does he understand that I am is I am in any situation? What I'm saying is that you cannot be stranded. An eagle is never stranded. And if he charged us to mount up on high as eagles, then we can as well look at the eagle and say, we cannot be stranded. Why? Because we have God on our side. And if we have God on our side, of what you to see, it says those that know their Lord, their God, they'll be strong and do exploits. Please let's rise on our feet.